Previously on Compassion Radio.
This, I believe, is truly the path of sanctification, that he brings us through the things we discover, some of which are devastating.
Yeah.
Nonetheless, they are the very things that bring us closer and closer to the heart of God, and deeper, and onwards and upwards, so that God prepares you for the next opportunity he has for you.
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do, and this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio.
Tracking the triumph of God in every nation on earth. Hello and welcome to the daily radio ministry journal known as Compassion Radio. So grateful and blessed to have you along with us today. Quick note right off the top, we know that many of you listen to your favorite programs in so many different ways anymore, via radio, podcast, iTunes, and the like. Well, we do post our programs each day right to our website, CompassionRadio.com. Simply click broadcast at the top of the homepage. And while you're at it, you can do a search and hear hundreds of our programs archived right there online. Well, as we gear up for this Friday broadcast, Bram's going to bring to conclusion a lively discussion we've shared with one of the most eloquent friends we've ever had the pleasure to feature, Louise Allar of Alliance for Life International. We pick it up today with Louise sharing a very personal story about her life and how God brought her through a very difficult season.
I told God I had great difficulties in my marriage, which we had been working out for 30 years. I was against divorce, totally against divorce. Yeah. By the way, I should say that to your listeners, 80% of divorces that occur, there is one partner that is against the divorce.
Hmm. That's true. 80%. I've seen that too.
Exactly. So, but there is one person that wants it, but the others don't. You know, 80% of the other people do not want the divorce. But because of the no-fault divorce in our country, the divorce takes place anyway. There is one partner that wants it. You remember in the Bible it says, if one partner does not want to follow God, but the other one is, the Lord says, let him go. Let him go if he doesn't want to stay with you. If he wants to stay with you, then that's fine. If he doesn't, well, let him go. So I had to let him go. I didn't want him to go, but I had to let him go.
That is a tough teaching that Paul put out there for us, and it's a very practical one, but it's a real heartbreak.
Yes, after being married for 30 years, it took me 5 years to recover, I would say.
And Paul is telling the church at that point, too, that this is a hard thing to say because it means there's a loss. There's going to be a death. But if you can't prevent the loss of the death,
yes.
Be at peace
yes.
that God still accepts
yes.
you. That's an important principle that Paul allowed us to experience in the New Testament. Can you imagine how rough it would be for the church if that teaching had not been there for us?
Yes. So at that time when I felt the turmoil of my marriage and I just founded the organization, I said to the Lord, you have my whole life in front of you. You can use whatever. You know, there was a basket in front of me. I said, there is my family, there's my children, my work, my schooling, the new organization I found. You could take anything and mix up everything you want. You have total control over my life. Mm. I surrender my life to you. You could use anything you want, including my life, my marriage, everything. You have free will. And I said to the Lord, I would even go to Africa.
I
now,
would
why
even
did I
go
say
to
that?
Africa.
I said that. Yeah. I never thought about going to Africa. This was not on my mind at all. So I said, why did I say that? Hmm. Well, it meant Africa was very scary to me because of diseases, okay? So Africa was scary to me. So when I said I would even go to Africa, it means total surrender.
It holds a special place in the pantheon of dangerous places in your heart and mind.
Right.
It has for many generations of people in the West, no doubt.
So I did end up in Africa 5 years later. In 2003, I did end up in the Congo. Yeah. And I tell you, we were talking about safety. It was not a safe place to go. The first time we were trying to go in 2003, I believe it was in April, the State Department said, no, you cannot go to the Congo. Mm. Terrible tribal warfare. You cannot go to the Congo. So in November, we tried again 6 months later. We didn't ask permission from anybody. We said, we're going.
Oh, goodness.
We were five women. where five women wanted to go to Africa to do continuing education for nurses. And then the Lord provided in wonderful ways for our security over there. I will always remember what the Lord did. We were in total ignorance, really. We were convinced we wanted to go, and that's it. So we were discussing, we were at a restaurant 3 weeks before the trip, and we were talking naturally about our trip to the Congo, the five ladies. And then there was a gentleman sitting next to us, and he says, "What do I hear you say?" I said, "We're going to the Congo." So he said, "Okay." We told him more about it, and he says, "I'm coming with you." So this gentleman was 27-year-old, name is Tony, and he belonged to our church, which we didn't know, Saddleback Church, Pastor Rick Warren. That's a large church, right? We didn't know about Tony. And then he was working as a Marine. He was at Camp Pendleton, which is close by, San Clemente area. He said, "Congo, you know, not a safe place for you to be. So I'm coming with you." And I said, "Okay," this was Friday night. I said, "We're leaving in 3 weeks. It's going to cost you $3,000, and we're going to be gone for 3 weeks." So the 333, could you remember that?
Yeah.
He said, "Monday morning."
There's a trinity of threes right there.
You're right. He said, "Monday morning, I'll see my boss, and I'll ask for my time off. I'm coming with you." I said, "Okay." So anyway, he did. He asked his boss on Monday morning. He said yes. He came with us for 3 weeks. He pays $3,000, and he came with us. And the role that he played over there is that he knew we needed a guard. We needed an armed guard everywhere we went. And so we were traveling by jeep, let's say, open jeep. He was armed. He had a big, big rifle. And then we always had the guard from the mission compound where we stayed. They had a 24-hour guard there. Always that person was with us. So we had two armed guards wherever we went. And so the Lord must have thought we needed this because he provided it.
Yeah. That's such a simple and obvious statement. If God feels like you need it, he's going to provide it.
I know. So this is just an example on how God provided for the work, you know, where we were not safe initially. You know, we were not safe at all. And the Lord made us safe through this provision. So I've always trusted God after that. Naturally, there is the health concerns. But this, you know, nowadays, there shouldn't be too much health concerns about going to Africa because there's all kinds of vaccination that the healthcare system here provides. And then there is the medication against malaria that you could take while you're there to prevent you from getting malaria. So I feel like, you know, I've done everything that I can do to protect myself. Yeah. But naturally, when you go there, there is less medical care available. That's why I want to do something about it.
Right.
If you become very ill over there, it's not the same medical care as here. I'm not saying that there is no medical care. I have accessed it many times, but it's not modern medical care like here. Not
After your generation, that might be quite a bit different, though.
Yes.
All right. So you march through to a place of safety in Jesus, but it's not a worldly protection. God literally sent you worldly protection, but in a supernatural way, which shows his provision. And so Tony was the face of it, but obviously it was God's protection that was at the heart of it. And he gave you peace in the middle of this. Now, I want to reiterate for those who have a passion and might want to follow in the footsteps of Luis Alar, that going does not necessarily mean that God's going to scare the bejesus out of you in order to get you ready for the mission field. He brings you softly and gently toward a place of commitment. He doesn't force you. You make a big point of that when you were describing the process that God brought you through, Luis, that he was not a forceful, angry, or scary God in this. He warmed your heart and built your trust along the way.
Yes, and I must say that the way it took place in my life is, you remember after the divorce took place, there was a time of healing that was necessary. I had just completed my study. For sure, I was ready. In a sense, I should have been ready for, but I was doing my organization, the educational component of it, writing newsletter, that type of thing. But the Lord used that time to heal me. And it took a while. It took a while. They say that it takes 1 year of healing per 5 years that you've been married.
Interesting.
So in my case, I've been married 30 years. Yeah, that's interesting. And I could say that it took 5 years. So you see, the Lord did not call me to the field before 2003. 1998 plus 5 years in 2003. I was just calculating this, and I said, the Lord is always on time. The Lord knows.
Yes, he is.
He wants you to be healed before you get engaged in this type of activity, you know. God thinks about you first. Yeah, I believe that this, in my case anyway, this is how it happens. You know, there's always steps in the Christian life where you're surrendering more and more all the time.
Yeah.
I would say that that initial surrender, God took my word on it. I would even go to Africa. I ended up in Africa.
Yeah.
It's the Holy Spirit, really, yes, that helped me to say that prayer, really.
Mm-hmm.
God knew where he wanted to take me, and so this is why it happened this way.
Sometimes God intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. We don't even get why he's so passionate about certain places or peoples, but yet he wants to share that passion he has for these people and those places with us, and he draws us into his prayers.
And the next step for me was when I decided about the hospital project, a much larger hospital project that we're involved at this stage. First, the idea came probably, well, it came early on. It came when I said 2008 in Uganda, the Department of Health Services, I want to start a medical clinic there. That's it started there. But it did not evolve as founding a medical clinic right away. But this idea, God doesn't change his mind along the way. So he brings it back to you. So the idea came back. As soon as the Pregnancy Resource Center was established, working out well and everything, then I would say, okay, what's next? What's next?
What's
the hospital.
Next?
Again, it came back. So then I wrote all the goals and with timelines and everything about the hospital. And then nothing happened. The Lord doesn't talk to me about it. I have no dreams. It's like this project doesn't exist. So finally, after about a year, I said, Lord, if you want to build a hospital in Uganda, you better talk to me about it, because nothing is happening.
You might want to check in with your servants.
You better check in. So I said, the Lord, what's happening here? Why don't you make this a passion of me? It's not going to happen unless you're pushing this. So the Lord says, you're not serious about it. You're not totally surrendered about this idea. You're not serious about it. I said, what do you mean you're not serious about it? So he said, well, you're not ready to live there. You're not ready to do what it takes to accomplish that. You're comfortable living here and going there twice a year, you know, 3 weeks, a month max. When I was working, I would go 2.5 weeks twice a year. Now I have more freedom to go longer since I retired. So he said, you're not really committed, you know. You don't realize, you know, what it takes to do this. So I said, okay, I repent, first of all, and second of all, I'll think about it for 24 hours or so. I'll get back to you. I got back to him. I said, okay, fine. I'll do whatever it takes. If I have to move there, I will move there. So I'm in the process of making plans for this to occur.
Well, hopefully by now, you know that Compassion Radio is a going kind of ministry. Come along with us.
Thank you so much for making it possible for us to finish well in 2017. Because of you, we're completing 74 years of continuous ministry. Because of you, more people are hearing this daily broadcast than ever before, all across the United States. Because of you, new works of God in new places are now known here in the West, challenging the body of Christ to engage in the great work of completing the Great Commission. Because of you, we've gone to get the story of God's work right in the center of the world's most dangerous and threatened places. Because of you, persecuted believers in dozens of countries now know that they are not forgotten. If you've received any inspiration from Compassion Radio, if you've ever been challenged or moved by what you've heard here, if you've ever wanted to play even a small part in reaching the world for Christ and bringing it closer together, then please join us in this work today. Even a monthly gift of $18 in 2018 would make it possible for us to survive and thrive this year and in the years to come. But truly, it begins today. Bless you, friends, and thank you for taking this challenge seriously and courageously.
Thanks, Bram. You can reach us at 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And 24/7, you'll find us on the internet at CompassionRadio.com. And now, back to this Compassion Radio program.
If I have to move there, I will move there. So I'm in the process of making plans for this to occur. Do you know I was not a citizen? So naturally, I have to do that. I have to become a citizen so that I can be outside of the country for longer time if I wanted to, as opposed to be a permanent resident. So that's one step that I'm taking. But, yeah, no, I'm serious about that. I told the Lord I'm very, very serious. So then after that, the thoughts about the hospital did not stop coming. I'm fully involved over my head. So this is what I mean by the Lord will not force you to do something. He will not force you. He will give you the idea, and then he wants you to kind of run with it and be concerned about fulfilling this dream. But if you're not, the Lord will not force you to do this type of thing. Mm.
The motivation has to be love.
Yeah, exactly. Ram, you always reiterate what we've said in such great ways. You know, how is the Lord working in your life? Yeah.
Now, how is your family responding to this?
I would say, well, my children have not opposed that work at all. No, they're very supportive. And in some ways, they assist, like my daughter assists with the fundraisers. She's always there with that.
Very good.
My son also assists in some way with the fundraisers. And my support system in the sense that they live close by, they're in my life, and they provide this balance in my life, in a sense. Huh? I have this family attachment. Yeah. And so, They're not directly involved, except that my daughter is getting a little bit more involved now.
Yeah. Okay. Now, do you have grandchildren as well?
Yes, I do. Yeah, okay. From my son, two children below 5 years of age, so 2 and 5. And then from my daughter is an 18-year-old young man.
So you have a future ahead of you of being the most exotic grandmother any of these kids ever have. Summer spent with you could be very adventurous, no doubt. And I'm sure that you'll remain a world traveler in the work that you do, and as you inspire others to pick up the flag of the kingdom and plant it in new territories. Now, where is the geography for this project? Is it somewhere in Uganda that you plan to build?
Yeah. It's in Kibale.
Okay.
It's spelled K-I-B-A-A-L-E.
Okay.
There is another city that is called Kabale that I've been involved in, but this one is Kibale. So it's in western Uganda, midwestern Uganda.
Okay.
And the reason why we selected this place, well, it's the Ministry of Health that selected the place.
Hmm.
Because I had selected another city. I thought Hoima would be a great place for it, but they said, no, Hoima has planned facilities, so no, they don't need it. But Kibale needs it, and it's still in western Uganda. But I picked western Uganda because I would say that the statistics for health are the worst, you know, compared to the other regions. They are the worst, and so they're suffering. And that region, you know, that region suffered a lot of, discrimination. That region.
From the rest of the country or from the African nations around them?
Compared to the rest of the country, they were a very, very powerful kingdom. You know, we're talking about tribal kingdoms over there.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were a very powerful kingdom, and it's like an empire. They had a large territory of influence. Then when the English came in to colonize Uganda, they came in power, actually. And the one that resisted this power, this invading power, are the people from western Uganda, from this kingdom, the Bunyoro kingdom. They opposed the English people, and they went to war with them. So this was at the turn of the century.
Yeah, it cost them dearly.
1898, whatever. It cost them dearly in a sense that the English people, it was an English colony, decided to develop Uganda, for sure. They did a lot of good there.
Mm-hmm.
They established, they developed Uganda. But not that region. They said for 100 years, we will not do any development in this area.
Wow.
Schooling, hospitals, whatever. So they have been forgotten.
What a vow to take.
The forgotten kingdom. I know. It's sad, isn't it? And these people, they still remember what happened like more than 100 years ago now. And they still remember that they were just cast out. I think the Lord is doing a work in this region. Why did we pick this area for a beautiful hospital? The Lord picked this area. I didn't pick this area. It seems like the Lord wants to compensate for all those years.
From the foundations of the world, he remembers them.
Yes, all these years of neglect that they suffered.
And may the kingdom grow big time because of this new witness. Now, it sounds to me like you're going to remain very central to the purpose of the Great Commission, which is to advance his kingdom through the compassion of Christ, not just to establish upward economic mobility, but to provide a channel for the gospel to really go after souls in a way that esteems them, the way the kingdom of God esteems his heirs to the kingdom. God treats us as adopted heirs, sons and daughters, prince and princesses. He doesn't treat us as the unwanted stepchild. We are co-heirs with Christ. And when you go and do the work you do, Louise, in the name and in the power of Christ, you're establishing a kind of dignity that nothing else on this planet can offer. So I do believe that you will be one of those great tools to bring dignity and honor that was long overdue to the people of Western Uganda. And I do believe these kind of divine appointments will be happening along the way as God makes it possible for us to build friendships. And I want to be able to introduce these people to our Compassion Radio audience and get them to love the people that you've learned to love, Louise. So I'm grateful that this serendipity is happening, that we get to meet now, and that it happens right on the front edge of what's going to be happening with Compassion Radio in Uganda and South Sudan. What a marvelous opportunity to meet the people that you have already learned to love.
Yes. How exciting. Thank you.
We have to say goodbye now.
Oh, my.
But I do want to follow up soon with you about opportunities to maybe do some projects together. But in the meantime, I want our Compassion Radio audience to know that it's worth praying for the people of Uganda and for the work that Louise Alar is doing with her Alliance for Life International. You've had a chance to get to know her heart and her personality and her effervescence that she's represented so well on the air with us today. I hope you look forward to the time when we can sit down later and hear more about what God's doing in all the places where God has led Louise and her teams to go in Central Africa. Louise, thank you so much for being with us these past 3 days with Compassion Radio.
Thank you. It's been an honor. Thank you so much.
And we will talk again soon.
All right.
As we wind things down for today, friend, if this ministry is a blessing to you, if you haven't considered becoming a monthly partner before now, please do. A regular gift of any size is literally our loaves and fishes. Because we know that every time you give, you're praying for us and for God to multiply your gift. We've seen God do that very thing time after time. Now, if you're already a sustaining partner, thank you. You are the backbone of Compassion Radio. If God has blessed you this year, if He's growing your faith, please consider an extra faith-giving gift this year. Even $10 or $20 more a month would have a profound impact on our vision, plans, and outreach in the next 12 months and the amazing stories of faith that we can bring to you. Here now is a quick wrap-up from our president and speaker, Bram Floria.
Thank you so much for making it possible for us to finish well in 2017. Because of you, we're completing 74 years of continuous ministry. Because of you, more people are hearing this daily broadcast than ever before, all across the United States. Because of you, new works of God in new places are now known here in the West, challenging the body of Christ to engage in the great work of completing the Great Commission. Because of you, we've gone to get the story of God's work right in the center of the world's most dangerous and threatened places. Because of you, persecuted believers in dozens of countries now know that they are not forgotten, that their suffering matters to God and to God's people. In 2018, we're taking one of the most important steps in the history of our ministry as we refocus on the primary purpose of helping to unite the body of Christ around the world through interactive reporting and transformational encounters. So for 2018, I'm inviting you to join us in the most important work that Compassion Radio has ever done. It begins today with your prayers, encouragement, and financial support of Compassion Radio. 2017 year-end giving was sufficient enough for us to stay on track and on this station. But we don't have the luxury of waiting passively this month. Simply put, we need you. We need to come out of the gate at full speed, in the full confidence of God's Spirit and the unity of God's people. If you've never been a part of our Compassion Radio team before, now is the time. If even 1,000 of you spread across the hundreds of radio stations where this program is heard daily would make the decision to join our vision team with even a small monthly gift, every question facing us, every challenge before us would immediately turn into opportunities and even more compelling programming for you. Would you pray about this right now? Bless you, friends, and thank you for taking this challenge seriously and courageously.
You can reach us by calling toll-free 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address, Compassion Radio, Post Office Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And you can always find us online right where you'd expect, CompassionRadio.com. Thanks so much for your ongoing prayers and sacrificial gifts. That toll-free number once more, 1-800-868-2478. On behalf of Bram Floria and the Compassion Radio team, I'm Jim Governale, and we'll see you again next time with more Compassion Radio.